I'm Mary Angish. It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hi there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, Charlie, you know, holiday times, we may have been given houseplants as gifts, and we nurture them, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow. And some of them get really, really big. Can you talk about the difference between small houseplants and then the ones that grow into trees, and we don't quite know how to take care of them in the house anymore?
Exactly. A big house plant, I'm talking about flower plants that grow up, you know, 4 or 5, 6 feet or higher into the sky. They're beautiful in a house, especially if you have a big house or a big apartment and a nice space for them. They create a whole atmosphere, but they require different care than you would for those small hanging baskets or small shelf house plants that you have. So let's take a look at what to do with those houseplants. First of all, they do require a little bit more light than they normally would. If you had a small version of a Scheffalera, for example, it wouldn't require that as much light as a larger version because it has a lot of leaves. And if you don't give it enough light, you'll notice that some of the interior leaves and the bottom leaves will turn yellow and drop and it'll look kind of scraggly. So this time of year, put it in a south-facing window. That's fine. Move it in the summer, maybe to an east or west-facing window. Don't put it in direct light, but put it somewhere where it's bright and it'll get a lot of light. As far as the watering goes, the opposite is true because you have a large pot, you're not going to have to water it as much. So you could go 3 or 4 weeks in the winter without having to water these large house plants. The container itself really should be a plastic container, so it's lightweight. You can move it around. And if you have a big ficus or a big dracaena or a big Norfolk Island pine, make sure you have rollers or a caddy to move it around, especially if you want to give it a little shower in the winter, which is something we do every month with a lot of our foliage house plants. They love to get their leaves nice and cleaned off, and they look a much more vibrant that way. Then, of course, if it's in a big pot, you're going to have to repot it every 2 to 3 years. If you're repotting it, you might want to do a little root pruning so you don't have to put it in a bigger pot. And speaking of pruning, some of these can be pruned, like the dracaenas, for example, and the monsteras. They can be pruned down a little bit to keep a smaller size. Others cannot be pruned. The Norfolk Island pine or some palm trees, you don't want to prune those. You'll just deform them. So they're great plants to have. You're just going to have to take good care of them.
All right, here's a question from Merle in Vergennes. Merle writes, I am all about not clearing leaves in the fall. Our leaves don't cover the grass that heavily, and just leaving them there works really well. But what do we do in the spring? No mow May, not an option. We went away for 2 weeks last May, and when we returned, the grass was over a foot high and couldn't get my mower through it. The risk of ticks and the fact that I actually use my backyard makes going meadow not really an option either. So what are your recommendations for what to do in the spring?
Well, Merle, yes, that's a good point about no-mow May. In the spring, I think what you'd want to do with those leaves that are still on the lawn, and they may not even be there by spring, depending upon which kind of leaves. Oak leaves will last longer than a maple leaf, for example. But just mow them down. Mow them into little pieces, and they'll just dissolve into the soil and feed your lawn grass and feed the trees and shrubs around it, too. That would be fine. As far as no-mow May goes, if you want to do something that's going to help pollinators, which is the point of no-mow May, I would not do no-mow May. I would just have a dedicated area somewhere in your property that would be a place where you let it go to wildflowers, or you just have a diversity of native plants and native perennials that'll be there for the pollinators, and not to really do that in the lawn. If you want to turn your lawn into something that would be more friendly to pollinators, you can do a lawn that has more clover in it, some prunella in it, and some thyme. And these pollinator-friendly lawns are mowed up a little bit higher, like 3, 3.5 inches high. But once established, they're really nice because you're mowing over these flowers that will flower at a shorter height, and you're giving the bees and the pollinators something to feed on, and you still have a lawn that you can use.
Oh, okay, cool. Nancy and Tom from Rutland wrote in to say that their azaleas bloomed in the fall. What's going to happen to azaleas in their yard next spring?
Well, unfortunately, you may not bloom as much. You've seen this happen with forsythia, with lilacs. Azaleas is another one where we get in the fall cold weather, and then it warms up, and the plants think that winter is over, and they start flowering. Those buds that opened in the fall, of course, are not going to open in the spring, so you may not have as much flowering. But on the plus side, the plant should be fine. It should recover, it should grow fine, and hopefully you'll get enough color that it'll make it worthwhile in your landscape.
Okay, gardening questions, send them to gardening@vermontpublic.org, and listen to All Things Gardening wherever you stream and enjoy audio. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.